Well, good morning. It's great to be with you for the 9:30 service. There's lots of familiar faces, which is quite nice. But for those who don't know me, my name is David Capener, and I usually attend the 11 o'clock service with my family. But it's great to be with you today for the 9:30 service, and great in particular to be looking at Psalm 1, which is one of my favourite psalms. Well, let's just turn to God in prayer before we unpick this psalm. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the psalmist who poured out their doubts, their questions, their praise, for their wisdom. We pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts now by your Holy Spirit, that we may know the way of blessing. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, start off with a question, or maybe two questions. Are you blessed? Do you want to be blessed? Are you blessed? Do you want to be blessed? We tend to shy away, don't we, from describing ourselves as blessed, but actually it's the first word of the book of Psalms, in the first psalm. The church Bible, if you've got it open, uses the word happy, but as Rob mentioned the other week when looking at Psalm 137, happy is not really the best translation, and blessed would be better. Well, please do have a Bible open in front of you. It's page 539 of the church Bibles in the Old Testament section. So as I say, blessed is the first word of the first psalm. It's also in the last verse of the second psalm. And many say that Psalm 1 and 2 originally combined to be an introduction to the book of Psalms. So how do we measure whether we're blessed? How do we measure blessedness? Society may say we're blessed if we have good health, have a good amount of disposable income, have a loving family around us, a good job, or for maybe some of you, a fulfilling retirement, a nice car, holidays. And these are blessings, and there's many positives to them. But there's a danger, isn't there? Because we can tend to become self-sufficient. Also, they're temporary. They can be taken away. Blessed in the Bible has a number of meanings. It can mean happy, in one sense, as in a blessed moment, a blessed situation. So if I'm in Lyme Park with my family and we're on a walk and seeing God's creation, I feel blessed. I want to give praise and thanks to God for God's provision. Maybe we feel blessed when we recover from a situation. So that's one form of blessing. It can also mean doing what is right, what is justified, an action blessed by God. It's God ordained. Well, according to Alec Mater in Psalm 1, the Greek word translated blessed here means fully satisfied, regardless of the circumstances. So it's a different type of blessing. It refers to receiving God's favor, to be under God's blessing. So in one sense, verse 1 of Psalm 1, we might say, satisfied in God, under God's favor, are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. The last verse of Psalm 2, we might say, satisfied in God, under God's favor, are all who take refuge in him. Are you blessed? Do you want to know God's blessing? God wants you and me to know his blessing, to be satisfied in him, to be under his favor. Well, let's get into Psalm 1. In terms of the big picture, it tells us that there's two ways. One is a blessed way and one is not. There's a way of the word, the way of the Bible, the way of the righteous, and there's a way of the world, the way of the wicked. There are those who, in verse 2, delight in the law of the Lord, in God's word. They're described as righteous. And there are those who do not delight in God's word, and they reject it, and they scoff at it, and they're described as the wicked. And I'm aware when I first kind of read this psalm and the words righteous and wicked stand out, it can be a stumbling block for some of us because most of us are aware we're sinners. And in one sense, we wouldn't identify ourselves as righteous. And many of us know, don't we, that in Romans 3 verse 10, it says that there's no one who is righteous. But later in Romans 3 and verse 18, it clarifies what Paul means when it says that there's no fear of God before their eyes. Therefore, the righteous are people who listen, who fear God. Likewise, if we ignore God, we're described as wicked. If you just turn over a few pages to Psalm 10 and verses 3 and 4, It's on page 544. And verses 3 and 4 in Psalm 10 have got a good description of the wicked. For the wicked boast of the desires of their heart. Those greedy for gain curse and renounce the Lord. In the pride of their countenance, the wicked say, God will not seek it out. All their thoughts are, there is no God. To say I'm righteous is not to claim perfection in and through oneself, but I stand righteous in Christ, and we know that's a gospel message. So if we desire to follow God, in terms of the psalm that we're looking at today, we're righteous. If we ignore God and go against him, then we're wicked. So God wants us to live as his blessed people. We know as New Testament people, he's paid the price through Jesus. So the first thing this psalm says is that those who are blessed do not follow the way of the world. Rather, they meditate on God's word. Verse 1. Blessed are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Many have commented on the progression that takes place. So from first of all listening to the advice of the wicked, then taking the path, and then sitting, being comfortable with the scoffers. It starts with following the advice of the wicked, those with no regard for God or his teaching, to then following the path of sinners, more directly involved in wrongdoing, probably because we're not listening to God's word, and then sitting with the cynics and the scoffers. And I think many of us can relate to that kind of pathway and that concern that God has about us as his children. It's why as parents and grandparents, we can sometimes be worried about the friendships our children or grandchildren have. Suddenly, they're with a new group of people. What are they saying to them? What's their advice? Then they're spending more time with them, going out with them. Then that seems to be their new group of friends. So we see that as parents, as grandparents, and that concern, knowing where it may lead. And God says it can happen to us as well. And we need to be careful. We need to be warned. For us as Christians, we shouldn't be too surprised if people scoff and ridicule what we believe and what we stand for, because they're rejecting God's rule in their lives. And often, if we don't go along with what they're saying, their advice or their words, then it has the potential to highlight what they're doing is wrong. And people don't like that. But I think one of the main things this first verse does is to acknowledge that it's a subtle and progressive path. And we need to realize that we may be in danger of times of taking steps to follow the advice of the wicked, those who ignore God, who want nothing to do with him. And if so, we're in danger of moving on to the path rather than following God's path. Well, fortunately, there is an alternative to listening to the advice of the wicked, taking the path and sitting with sinners. And that's to delight in God's law, his word. And not only is it an alternative, it is the way. It's a way of blessing. Verse 2. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. For the blessed, rather than the advice of the sinners and joining the scoffers, they delight in the word of the Lord. Delight means that we find satisfaction in God. We find fulfillment and peace in his word. And in one sense, I sometimes think we can beat ourselves up about this picture of meditating. So a question for you. Have you experienced coming to God's word, reading, praying through it, and knowing that sense of peace and hope that God has spoken to you? Then I would say you delight in the law of the Lord. I'm sure that I'm not alone, that if you're in a home group, sometimes I've got a home from a busy day at work, time with the children, and it's home group time, and the appeal of the sofa and some TV drama is quite a pull for me. But actually, usually I do go along to the home group, and I've never regretted that. It's always a positive experience. And I leave knowing God has spoken to me. And there's a delight in that. There's a fulfillment and peace in coming together under God's word in fellowship and prayer. If there is a delight, then those who are blessed also meditate on it day and night. And again, this is where perhaps we feel the challenge, the encouragement. Yes, we know we've experienced the delight of God speaking to us through his word. But meditate day and night. Again, I don't think it necessarily means that we have God's word open before us all the time, a candle burning by a bedside, though I don't want to ridicule that, because I know for my wife, when our children were very young, that was a piece of advice she was given. Have the Bible open in the kitchen or somewhere, so when you're just passing by, busy with young children, you might glance and pick up a word from the Bible. But I think it means more than that. I think it means that God's word is on our minds, and he's speaking to us all the time. Whatever pattern we have for our Bible and prayer, it's the idea that we don't limit God to the 10 or 15 minutes of a quiet time. That we say, okay, God, this is your window in my busy day. You've got 10 or 15 minutes to speak to me, and then I'm off into the rest of the day. It's the idea that having prayerfully read God's word, then by his Holy Spirit, he brings it to mind throughout the day and night and in different situations and occasions. Peter mentioned, didn't he, with his situation, facing a real challenge, his natural desire was to turn to God and to find comfort and to find hope in God. And God spoke to him in his situation in a powerful way through that psalm. Meditating on God's word is a blessing. We must guard against it becoming a rule or a guilt trip. It's something positive. It's a truth. And so to seek and know God's blessing and to guard against the wicked and the scoffers, we do well, don't we, to spend time meditating on God's word. And there's lots of different ways out there. For those who have got your smartphones, there's lots of apps now, aren't there, on daily devotionals. I use one. It has a verse for the day and there's a little bit of commentary about it. And it's good to start the day with that. For others, you'll come to a passage and you'll pray beforehand and ask God to speak a word or a phrase to you, to lay that on your heart for the day. Whatever pattern you have, it's a way of seeking God to speak to us day and night. Just to highlight, of course, we don't have to meditate on the way of the world, do we? We don't have to meditate on the way of the wicked. Because we're immersed in it, we hear the voice of the world, we hear the voice of the scoffers throughout the day. That's why we need to spend time and commit time to meditating on God's word. It's the idea of abiding in God, and God will abide in us. We draw near to God, and we're more likely to know his presence and to hear his voice above the din of the world. Well, moving on, it then has this image in verse 3. And to be honest, this is one of the reasons why this is my favorite psalm. So I'll just read verse 3. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. I don't know why, but I have a bit of a thing about trees. I just think they're a brilliant part of creation. As I mentioned earlier on, I love going for walks with the family. And you'll be walking and you'll just see a tree and think it looks amazing. I love the colours that you get in autumn, the range of colours. I love the bright hope of blossom in the spring. So trees are incredibly appealing to me. And it's such a positive image, isn't it? The tree is planted. Alec Mateer actually says it's been transplanted. It's not the tree's natural position. It's not where it once was, but in a new chosen place, chosen for fruitfulness. We are by a stream due to God choosing to put us there by his grace and mercy. For Christians, God's blessing is as we meditate on his word, we're like a tree by water, a tree that gets all of its water and its nutrients. And as a result, we're able to grow and flourish. They yield their fruit. Their leaves are green and healthy. I don't think it's too much to relate to Jesus saying that he is the water of life and all who are thirsty should draw to him. And we have the image, don't we, in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit being the living water flowing in us, enabling us to grow and bear fruit. I'm not too sure that such a positive image is out there of Christians reading the Bible, but it is a great image full of joy and hope. So those who are blessed delight in the law of the Lord. They grow and flourish. They do not follow the wicked and the scoffers. Isn't it a great encouragement to keep close to God? Not out of legality, not out of rules, but because it's a way of blessing. God longs to bless you and me. There is then the contrast with the wicked, the way of the world. The wicked seek independence from God. They don't want to hear his word or meditate on it. Only look at things from a human, earthly perspective and live according to the world's standards. And as we know in Psalms such as Psalm 73, they can at times seem successful. But this psalm is clear. Rather than growing and bearing fruit, the wicked are like chaff. Verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. They don't grow and bear fruit as the tree does. In the ancient process of winnowing, the grain and the chaff are thrown into the air. The wind blows the chaff away because it's light, but the heavier grain falls back down. The chaff was not something worth keeping. Then verse 5 talks about judgment. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And it was a picture of the Israelite community who met day to day for justice. Bad people had no right to officiate. But it also gives us a picture of God's judgment seat, whether for the wicked his or her case will stand up. Wicked people in the end do not get away with wickedness. So two ways, the way of the word, the way of the Bible, the way of blessing, and the way of the world. It may be worth thinking for you and for me, are we by the stream, growing in God, finding peace and fulfillment in his word? Are we in danger of listening to the advice of the wicked? Have we taken the next step on following their path? Have we become so comfortable that we may be sitting with the scoffers? Sometimes I think as Christians we can find times in our lives where we try and straddle the two. We try to have one foot on both pathways, one in the way of the word and one in the way of the world. It's never good as the paths diverge. We put ourselves in danger and we also miss out on blessing, on growing, on bearing fruit. Two ways, but also this psalm gives a clear indication. There's two destinations. Verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The way of the wicked will perish. It's a pathway to destruction. As Jesus says in Matthew 3, verse 12, the chaff is thrown into the fire. Not so for the people of blessing, the way of the word. God watches over them. That brings to mind, doesn't it, that repeated phrase that we heard in Psalm 121 a few weeks ago. God keeps us. God watches over us. That means that his promises are sure. Promise of forgiveness. Promise of life now by his Holy Spirit. And the certainty of heaven. It's a pathway of hope. Do you want to be blessed? Are you blessed? God, in his incredible love, grace, and mercy, longs to bless you and me. And the psalm talks about two ways, a way of blessing and a way without blessing. The way of the word, the way of the Bible, knowing God's presence, the tree, meditating, protected from the wicked and the scoffers who would lead us away from God, delighting in him. The way of the world, ignoring, ridiculing God, chaff blown in the wind, heading towards a fire. Let's delight in God's word. Let's be the tree by the water. Let's encourage one another to delight and meditate on God's word. Let's not miss out on the blessing that God longs to bring you and me day by day. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. Amen.